The following is a production of Omnis.tv.
Tonight's show, a special music guest, Audio Blue. I'll also cover the NFL, college football, top movies at the box office, and much, much more tonight on Unsigned. Hey everyone, how's it going out there? Welcome to the Unsigned Show. My name is Ryan. Thanks for hanging out with me on a Tuesday evening. Hopefully you're enjoying this second week of October. Nice fall weather we're having. Nice brisk day here in Tennessee, wherever you are. Hopefully not too cold. Some sunshine today. The rain has finally subsided. And we've got a great show for you tonight. I got a musical guest, Audio Blue, coming on. We're going to do some NFL coverage, college football, and a lot of really interesting stories coming up. And I found this story, and I was like, man, I got to talk about this one. Some of these stories we've been covering the last couple months, they really do write themselves. And this one, a young woman in Brazil has kind of become a viral sensation in the last week when news broke that the 20-year-old Brazilian student was auctioning off her virginity to raise money for families in her country. Great cause, you know, helping out poor families in her country, selling her virginity for money. Something Las Vegas, I'm sure, would be very proud of. I wonder what the odds are on that. You know, well, what the rate's going to go. But early bidding quickly topped at $190,000. Now, the auction ends October the 15th and will take place. Now, the actual act will circumvent on an airplane that will basically also be a mile high prostitution, if you will. $190,000. Again, we'll keep tabs on what the young lady's virginity sells for. Now, a former Boston Bruin who now runs netraffle.org, a company that raises money for charities on the internet, he said this type of transaction is setting a dangerous precedent, not to mention a call for global prostitution on a one-time basis. Could you imagine if this catches on as a trend? You know, women in their early 20s and even men, in their late teens, early 20s, selling their virginity for money. You know, it's almost kind of like one of those auctioneer things, you know? Yeah. How can you beat that? You know, I mean, they have storage wars, they got parking wars. You might as well have virginity wars, right? You put that on HDTV or something, you know, get it on cable, put it on Home Shopping Network, get someone to shell that virginity out there. Sell that virginity. You don't need it. Sell it to poor kids for their families. Classic story right there. Moving on tonight, they've got a judge. Now, this is a story that we covered, a couple months back now. I think we even covered it initially back in 2010 when it originally happened, or early 2011. But a judge sentenced a North California man, Jared Wyatt, to 47 years in state prison for viciously mutilating and killing his friend after he consumed hallucinogenic mushrooms. The 29-year-old mixed martial artist pled guilty last month to first-degree murder involving mayhem and killing his 21-year-old sparring partner. Wyatt had pled not guilty by reason of insanity, but in May, a judge ruled Wyatt was obviously, you know, competent to stand trial. Prosecutors said Wyatt ripped out his friend's heart and tongue and was, was just kind of hanging out on the psychedelic mushrooms, eating his friend's heart. Now, what they also don't say in our story that we did a couple of months ago was that he also cooked some of his body parts and made stew out of it when the police arrived. That's not covered in this story there. So I don't know if they just, you know, didn't include that part in this particular article or not. But he also tried to, you know, cook and eat his sparring partner. You thought Mike Tyson was a bad dude, right? Jared Wyatt will rip your heart out, drink your blood, and eat psychedelic mushrooms. 47 years in jail. Rightfully so. I'm surprised they didn't get the death penalty, honestly. These stories kind of go hand in hand here. Supernaut is a website specializing in true crime collectibles. And, they actually have memorabilia from serial killers like Charles Manson's half-eaten bag of Reese Pieces that are $425. Maybe you need something maybe a little more seasonal. You know, it is kind of getting towards the holiday season. Serial Killers Inc. has a Santa suit that was worn by killer and kidnapper John Edward Robinson, which only cost you a cool $1,600. Serial Killers Inc., the owner, Eric Ginn, who was adopted, his adopted last name, which is based a homage to murderer Ed Gein, who was also known as the Mad Butcher in Minnesota. He said he argued that these items have historical value. It's dark history, but it's part of our history, Gein said. He also told the Huffington Post that why not have these items, study these items, preserve these items for future generations. Maybe one day we'll figure out why murderers do the way what they do. You know, I can't think of a better way to learn from murderers than having Charles Manson's half-eaten bag of Reese Pieces. I mean, how much are you going to learn from that? He didn't eat any of the orange ones. Makes sense now. Wedding brawl. Out of a out-of-control rumble at a wedding brawl in Philadelphia hotel, it took place. A lot of people ended up being carried out in handcuffs. Police said the brawl involved two different wedding parties, including 75 to 100 people, taking over the ball and spilling out into the hotel lobby, according to NBC 10 in Philadelphia. Officers attempted to control the fight, found themselves outnumbered by their unruly wedding guests, and ended up swinging batons at individuals who were cooperating and basically fighting. You want to, you know, a wedding. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Now, there was actually a video that was caught here. A 15-year-old boy was actually having his birthday party at the hotel and was able to record the altercation and post it on YouTube, and actually did a little play-by-play commentary like WWE there. And apparently one of the brides was actually decked in the face. So, your wedding, your marriage is off to the right foot when you have two different wedding parties going Royal Rumble style at the hotel bar. You know, and if you get punched on your wedding day, I can't think of a better way to start off, right? It's amazing the divorce rate is so high. Now, the question has been asked in movie news, should Mila Kunis star in 50 Shades of Grey, the movie that's set to be made? I have a short answer for everyone for that. Yes, absolutely, she should. She was also recently voted the sexiest woman alive as well. She's also known for, you know, playing, you know, on Family Guy, that 70s show. She's done other films as well, which just recently voted sexiest woman alive. Music news. Rage Against the Machine. Tell you, this makes me feel a little old. Rage Against the Machine is celebrating 20 years. Their debut album under Legacy Records will be releasing Rage Against the Machine 20 on November the 27th. It is going to be available in three different formats: remastered CD version with three bonus cuts, a double CD and a bonus DVD, or you can get a box set with two DVDs, CDs, and a vinyl LP, and a two-sided poster as well. Hard to believe that album is going to come out. It's been 20 years old. And also will contain bonus demo cuts as well, previously unreleased. But ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, I'd like to welcome to the Unsigned Show this evening, hailing from the state of Texas, it is Audio Blue.
What's up, man?
Hey, man, how's it going? I'm doing well, man.
Doing good.
I live in Tennessee. You're in Texas. I get confused sometimes, man. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing just fine. How you doing?
I'm doing good, man. Again, appreciate you taking the time out to stop by this evening and talk with us. And, you know, I ask a lot of people when the first time they come on the show, you know, how'd you get started in music in general?
Well, there's a long story because I've been around music for years, but basically playing guitar when I was about 6 years old. My dad was a guitarist, so it was kind of a natural extension of me interacting with him as a boy, you know what I mean? So, but later on in life, I was also an engineer at a very early age in London, which is kind of where I moved to, basically in a rehearsal recording studio type environment. It was in Wapping, which is kind of in the docklands of the London areas. But always been involved in music, always been involved with bands. In fact, the first I've been in about two or three bands. First band's name was Xenophobic Mutes, and I'll always remember that name because it was an awesome name.
Yeah.
European Toys was another one. Joyriders was another one. That's the one I came to the States with. But always been around music, so just really haven't not had it in my life, which is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah, well, definitely, man. Sounds like, you know, you've been part of music for a long time. And how did you come up with the name Audio Blue?
No big mystery. Just kind of trying to find a way to transition from, you know, what I was doing as an artist into what I'm moving to now as a kind of a songwriter and producer. And I was just sitting at the, you know, around the table, and we were throwing names back and forth. I was, anyway, to the family. And Audio Blue kind of stuck. And my real name is Drew, but Audio Blue was the one that kind of stuck, and that's what I went forward with. So there were some other ones as well. They were kind of weird, but we won't get into that.
Gotcha. Okay. Fair enough. now, what's the first song you learned to play?
First song I learned to play was 10 years old. It was Voodoo Child, Jimi Hendrix. And I was always remember learning that song the old-fashioned way. You know, you had the 45 in the middle of a turntable, and you had to keep picking up the arm, you know, where the needle was, and moving it back to the front, getting that lick, getting the next lick, getting the next lick. And, yeah, so that was kind of the first song I ever learned. And, again, at 10-year-old playing Hendrix, that was kind of cool too.
Very, very cool. Now, I know – when we initially started, setting the interview up and having you come on the show, you really mentioned that you wanted to talk about the music industry and what is really happening in the music industry. Obviously, a lot of change just really in the last 10 or 15 years has really changed, and now you're seeing another change. What is your take on the music industry as you've seen it now, and, you know, being, you know, coming to the States and also, you know, doing everything you've done, singer, songwriter, producing? Where do you see the music industry transforming?
Well, there's a couple of things. It's such an exciting time in the music industry in general. So much is changing. When you think about the old school approach, it was all about, you know, who could get the A&R guy to the gig, you know, which meant you kind of had to be in a metropolitan area. They would come and see you. They'd like you. You know, this was the dream, right? They would like you. They would sign you up to some kind of inconscionable contract. You know, give you $100K up front, and, you know, the record company would use the recoup fees clause to not have to pay you at all, you know, any royalties due, yeah. Period. But so that kind of, you know, that led to a lot of folks getting broke or being broke even after world tours and, you know, significant sales, record sales. But now, if you're kind of savvy enough, anyone can really start their own record company and make money that way using the distribution services like TuneCore, you know, CD Baby, publishing services like the TuneCore publishing services. You know, I grab 10% of your publishing administration. The rest is kind of yours because of the way, you know, digital media is out there right now. So many people can do that. You know, it's just there's some caveats to that, obviously, with any industry. You know, you want to take on the publishing of the songs that you create. It's just like any other industry. You've got a network. You've got to have the relationships, et cetera, to really be a part of the ongoing success of any venture. It's no different in the music industry. But with social media playing such a huge role in low-cost marketing and driving revenue generation, if you're hungry enough, it's much easier to succeed. So, you know, just in that light, it's just completely leveled the playing field. So where majors used to have all of the advantage, you've got these aggregators now, as I said, like TuneCore, CD Baby, even Amazon. They've made it so easy for the common artist, the regular artist, you know, the Joe like me off the street, to be able to compete in a marketing, a social media marketing frenzy, and also a distribution process that was never available to any kind of musicians before. So there's a massive change on the way. I'm just really excited for the next 10 years to kind of see what, you know, opens up for other musicians, you know, the regular musician, the working Joe, as I said, to make extra money, like sync licensing, for instance. I mean, sync licensing is a big part of a independent musician's income if they're lucky enough to get that. But again, you need to have the relationships and the networks to be able to make money off of that. So I'm really excited to see what the next 10 years is going to bring.
I think you're spot on there, man. I mean, if you look at, you mentioned the word recoup, which was like, that's like the evil word in music, as far as record labels are concerned, especially when you look at like, you know, the 70s, 80s, 90s, and then even maybe even a little bit into the early 2000s. But now, you know, when you had the Napster explosion, now digital downloads, social media again, you know, and I think, you know, I've been in radio a long time, and I think that, you know, radio plays a huge part in it too. And you listen to FM radio now, it's not good. I'm sorry, it's just not. And it's the same old regurgitated stuff over and over again. And, you know, places like Twitter, Facebook, Reverb Nation, you know, Spotify, and there's so much out there now. You don't have to listen to the same 12 songs anymore. You know, you got Pandora, the list goes on and on and on. And to see where it's going to head, as far as digital downloads and just, you know, these bands, you know, that really know how to market themselves are the ones that really come down and be successful. You know, I think you're right on there is how this industry is going to change. And I don't even think it's going to take 10 years. I think in the next 3 to even 5 years, you're going to see a major, major change. And a lot of the big, huge conglomerate record companies, you've already started to see them fall. And I always joke with kids all the time, like, you know, remember record stores, right? You know, those big brick and mortar shops that had records and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah. Did anybody want to buy a Tower City anymore? You know, no.
Yeah, exactly. But it may not take 10 years. I mean, you think about the compact disc, right? The compact disc, when you really think about it, it's only been around for like the last, what, 15 years? I mean, when was the last time you saw a medium like and music period fizzle out in 15 years?
Yeah.
I mean, it's unreal. I mean, it's on the decline after 15 years where you have vinyl press records. They are around for 50 to 60 years at least. So it's just a matter of time before the next jump comes along, and that's what I'm excited for, to really see what that next jump is, because the tools are out there and, you know, the playing field is level. So, you know, what's the next technology step that's going to take us into that next domain? That's where my excitement really, really kind of, you know, bubbles up, because it's the average Joe on the street given an opportunity to make something of themselves in an industry that's really not catered to that at all.
Yeah, again, I think you're spot on, man. Now, moving on tonight with, you know, as far as you being a performer, now you're kind of in like a transitional period where, you know, obviously you've been a performing artist for quite some time, you know, singer, songwriter, and now you're also getting into more of the producing side of things as well. Is that right?
Yeah, actually just today I was in a mastering session with some work I'm working on now. But yeah, as an artist, you know, your time is kind of dedicated to taking the music out to the folks that you can reach and sharing it with them in hopes of, you know, kind of the elusive deal, right? So after doing that for several years, I've had a couple deals under the belt, you know, one in England, a publishing deal here, in the States, over the last 10, 15 years. You know, it's almost time. I'm not getting the excitement I got out of that, and I'm seeing the opportunity in the new music industry to be more than just the artist. So it's really kind of pulling me in a different direction, but staying within the same industry. So for me, I've just reached a point in my life that songwriting and production of the music has become more of a way of life and more enjoyable and more satisfying than, you know, doing the slog on the tour and everything that goes along with that. But so I just decided to make that transition and focus my efforts on what really appeals to me more than anything else. But that doesn't necessarily say I'm going to give up, you know, the live stuff, because, you know, just recently Saturday, last Saturday, I was up on stage backing somebody within an acoustic set. So it's never going to go away. Once it's in you, it's in you.
I agree, man. Now, have you noticed that your writing style has changed, you know, from where, you know, where maybe you were just more performer to where you are, you're kind of wearing multiple hats now. Have you noticed that your songwriting or your writing process has changed since you've kind of evolved and taken on these new roles?
Well, you'll hear, you know, obviously with a couple of songs that you're going to play later, it has gone from a much harder edge, you know, crank it to 11, as the old word says, right? The old line says, to more of a much more passive acoustic feel. But it hasn't really changed. The subject matter of the songs necessarily hasn't really changed. It's actually given me more enthusiasm to be more creative in the approach and more experimental in the music itself. Although I still do hear, you know, you can't get that away from it. You still hear the beefy guitars and the driving drums, etc. But it's a much more mellow, a more acoustic. But you know, song content, it hasn't really changed that much. But you know, being able to play with a little bit more and experiment with a little bit more, you know, genres than I'm used to really focusing on, that's a lot of fun for me. And being able to tune in, you know, tune your ears into what's really necessary for those particular genres as you kind of move through them, it's actually kind of fun.
Very cool. Now, the first song we have tonight is the song titled Tired of Being Used. Now, when I first listened to the song, I was like, wow, this guy, the guitar work is really good on this, man. It really is. What can you tell me about this track, man?
Well, this was recorded, this is a live recording, actually, and it's about 15, maybe 12, 13 years old, somewhere around there. And it was before we were doing this live before a gig that we were going to be doing. It basically pulled some, it was an old 8-track, Tascam 8-track that we hung some mics around the room. We were able to dial those in a little bit later on. But, and you can hear from the mix, it's kind of live. With just with the amount of reverb that we slapped all over the guitars, but it's just kind of a cool feel, kind of a cool vibe, and it was done live, and it was a great memory for us as a band, for me personally, to remember the band at that point in time, at that moment in time, and it's just a great song. It's a song I wrote, you know, about 2 or 3 days earlier. We decided to do it at this gig, and it went really well. So we tried to record it and capture that moment before we went on stage, and I think we captured it.
Well, great, man. Thanks for sharing with us tonight. This is Audio Blue, Tired of Being Used, here on Unsigned.
When there's no one, anyone,
Claudio Blue with Tired of Being Used here on Unsigned. And good stuff, man. I think that definitely is a song that you could definitely feel just really has a moment of time that's really captured. I really dig it, man. It's good stuff.
Thank you. I appreciate it. As I say, that's a fond memory I have, and it's just a great little song.
Yeah, man, it really is. It's a nice flow. Again, the guitar work is phenomenal, man. Very nice work. Now,
appreciate it.
Moving forward, you know, we've kind of talked about the music industry a little bit, you know, and obviously we both see eye to eye as far as the change that is coming. I think, you know, even in the next 5 years, you never know. Things happen so fast and move so fast nowadays. What do you think your biggest challenge is, not only as a performer, singer, songwriter, artist, but also, you know, getting into producing and developing other music?
Changing the roles. Kind of moving from having the artist role in the business to more of a behind the scenes role. You know, it's once you've had the frontline experience and, you know, you enjoy that frontline experience, you know, and maybe you've got a band coming in the studio or an artist coming in the studio that doesn't necessarily have the skill sets, with either on an instrument, on a vocal or whatever, and just wanting to get up and do it for them, you know what I mean? But just kind of sitting back and having the producer role, having the production role, you know, more the songwriter role as opposed to the performing role. But having said that, you know, the creativity and the desire to create, can be exercised really in either role. So, but definitely kind of having to sit on your hands, you know, if you're an Italian trying to talk, it's going to be that kind of exercise, right?
Yeah. Right. Definitely agree, man. Now, you know, all this you got going on, you know, music, you know, producing all those things. What do you enjoy doing in your free time?
I love to play golf. I do a lot of trips to Top Golf with the family and, love to spend time traveling. Family is very important to me. So, you know, as much time as I can spend with family, the better. But mostly, you know, free time is made up of music-related activities. I mean, once you find something that you love, it really doesn't become a job or, you know, an effort or a challenge to kind of immerse yourself in it. So that's kind of how I found music, really. So we'll go watch other bands play and, you know, support other local artists that we can. And in fact, you had a guy on your show either a week or a couple of weeks ago, David Martinez.
Yes.
He played locally here on Saturday. And one of the artists I'm working with actually backed him up. Went on first on the earlier hour. So we spent the evening with David, and a fantastic guy and a very, very talented guy. So we'll go support other people and just kind of hang out, see what's fresh, see what's new. You know, you're always learning, right? So free time is really wrapped up around musical activities, but I do like to make time for golf, I must say.
Yeah. What's your handicap, if you don't mind me asking?
Oh, terrible. I mean, forget about it, you know. It's like, I love to play. It didn't say I was good.
Right, fair enough, yeah. I'm in the same boat there. I haven't golfed in a while, but I used to always like to go out and, you know, lose a you know, half dozen balls on the course, you know.
No doubt. Absolutely same way.
Now, David Martinez, it's funny you mentioned him. A really great guy. We had him on a couple weeks ago, and that's really how me and you got together. Sure. You know, as far as having you on the show, and again, you know, thanks for coming on. You know, David is got really great stuff, man. And I could definitely see if you guys are playing gigs together, that's gotta be the people in the area have got to be enjoying that, man.
Yeah, it was a fun night. I mean, it wasn't a packed house by any means, but I'll tell you, the artists had a lot of fun. The folks that were in the room had a lot of fun. And, you know, it's, again, just kind of hanging out with David for a little bit and the other artists that were there. It was just a lot of fun. So those are the kind of nights you kind of remember and with a thumbs up, you know.
Very cool, man. Now, are you into – I'm a big movie guy. I don't know if you have, you know, have time for movies. You see any good movies lately?
Let's see. I think the last really good movie I saw was Inception. But I had to watch it like four times before I actually really got it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I guess it's a, usually you get a twofer. This was a fourfer.
Right.
But no, I think Inception was really cool. The other one I really liked was, that's been released recently was, The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo.
Yes.
I don't know if you've seen that. That was an awesome flick. Great story, but a little gory, but man, that was an awesome movie.
Yeah, I mean, I love. Have you seen the subtitled the European version?
No, I haven't.
I tell you what, man. I tell you what, the American remake, they do that film justice. But if you ever get a chance, there's actually a series of three movies there. The Girl Who Kicked the Hornet's Nest, The Girl Who Played with Fire, and The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. It's all based on the same woman who's in The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo. If you ever find, and there's also three books on it too, man. If you ever get a chance, definitely check it out. It's very, very well done. And I will say that The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo is the best of the series, hands down. But that's a great film. Top to bottom. And if you ever get a chance to watch the original, I believe it's a Swedish film. If you ever get a chance to watch the original version, I definitely recommend it.
I will. I'll take you up on it. If I can find it, I'll grab it for sure.
Right on. Very cool.
And you said there was three movies, right? Three movies, each book?
There's three movies, one from each book. The girl with the girl who played with fire and the girl who kicked the hornet's nest.
We'll check it out. Thanks for the recommendation.
Yeah, not a problem, man. Now, we've got another song we're going to do tonight, but, do you have any upcoming shows you want to talk about or, any upcoming events that you want to share with the audience tonight?
Well, folks can usually find me, kind of working in and around, like, downtown Dallas at the House of Blues. I'll go and support a couple guys there or a young girl there. They can also find me at the local coffee shops, Opening Bell, those type places in that same role. So that's kind of really what I'm doing right now as far as that transition period from going from artist to producer and singer-songwriter. But if any of your listeners want to and are interested in kind of trying to find out more about me, we're actually going to be starting a record company here shortly called 1217 Records. There'll also be 1217 Publishing. They should be on the lookout for that. But if they want to get a hold of me, you can find me on Twitter at @audio_blue. Or they can email me at audiobluecrew@gmail.com. And they can also find me on Facebook at facebook.com/bluecrewpage. So I hope your listeners go out and check it out.
All right. Well, man, I appreciate you coming on, man. And, our show audience has really grown quite a bit since, we've had great artists such as you coming on the show. Again, we appreciate it. Now, you're welcome back anytime, man. I hope you enjoyed the show. We got another song we're going to play here in a little bit, but when you get the record label off the ground, man, definitely keep us in mind. If you have artists, we'll definitely do our best to put a fresh foot forward, man, and support you as best we can.
Well, that's an offer I will take you up on, and I appreciate it. And you guys, very pro. I appreciate your approach and the pre-show activities you guys put on. That's not common on some of the other stuff I've done, but appreciate that a lot.
Yeah, not a problem. We're a little different on a lot of accounts here, as you can tell from some of our opening stories. I grab as much interesting stories from Brazil to brawls and weddings in Philadelphia and serial killer memorabilia. Nothing is off limits here. So, but hey, that's just how we do it, man. And we hope people enjoy it. We have fun with it. The last song tonight is Pink Moon. What can you tell me about this track when we close out tonight, man?
This is a Nick Drake song. Recorded it probably 2-3 months ago, and I listened to Nick Drake a lot as a kid, just because of the way he tuned his guitar. It was completely different than anything I'd heard before. And listening to him, he was kind of a depressive guy, but he wrote some amazingly beautiful songs. And this was one of them that really I kind of gravitated towards, just because of the meaning it has inside the family here. But it's an awesome song. Nick Drake, fantastic songwriter. If people haven't heard of him, go back in history and check out this English songwriter, because he's an amazing guy.
Very cool. Wait, man, Audio Blue, thanks for stopping in tonight and sharing some really great information with us. And best luck to you, man. And we will definitely be in touch.
Outstanding. I appreciate it. Thanks much.
Not a problem. This is Audio Blue, Pink Moon, here on Unsigned.
Sorry written and I saw it say Pink Moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Pink moon gonna get you all. It's a pink moon. It's a pink moon. pink, 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 pink. It's a pink balloon. Pink, 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 pink. It's a pink balloon. And I saw it say, pink moon is on its way, and none of you stand so tall. Pink moon gonna get you all. It's a pink moon. It's a pink moon. Pink, 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 pink. It's a pink moon. Pink, 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 pink. It's a pink moon.
Audio Blue here on Unsigned with Pink Moon. A really good track. And again, thank you to Audio Blue for stopping in this evening. And, you know, really great interview. And thanks for sharing some really great information with us this evening. I look forward to working with you in the future. And we've still got a lot of things to cover. And tonight's show, as crazy as that sounds, it is time for some NFL football coverage and our pigskin picks.
All star, star, offense. Center.
You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game.
Playoffs? Don't talk about it. Playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs?
Congratulations. See you in Pittsburgh.
Can't wait.
That's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
No doubt about it. What a crazy week the NFL week five has really been, and really the season. I mean, it's up and down. I don't know who's doing what anymore at this point, but I will say one thing. Last week I went 10-3 on my picks, and on the season I am 41-19 on pigskin pick'ems. Let's start with Thursday night football, and that is the Rams versus Cardinals. One of the games I did not pick correctly, and that is the Rams winning at home 17-3. The Cardinals kind of come down to earth. A lot of injuries at running back. I don't know who's going to run the football for Arizona. Beanie Wells on IR. They recently just put Ryan Williams on IR. The other backs they have are banged up as well. Kevin Cobb is okay. That defense is still pretty good. Somebody's got to run the football for this team. They've kind of become one-dimensional. And really a beatdown by the Rams, 17-3 Thursday night. How about this? The Eagles head to Pittsburgh. And wouldn't you know it, Big Ben Roethlisberger and the old school Steelers coming out of a bye week, get the win like they knew they would. They didn't play very good by any means. Kind of neither did the Eagles. Again, turnovers kill Philadelphia. And anytime they turn the ball over, kills them. They asked Michael Vick to do way too much. They need to run LeSean McCoy. You have LeSean McCoy, probably the most dynamic running back, or one of the most dynamic running backs in the NFL. You need to get that guy the ball. The Steelers get a field goal to win it in Heinz Field, 16-14. This a shock to me. Andrew Luck with a game-winning drive in Indianapolis, beating the Packers. I don't know what's going on with the Packers, but they lose another one. They are 2-3. They lose and drop that game 30-27. The Browns and the Giants, congratulations, Cleveland Browns. You're the only team in football without a victory. Amazing. The Browns, they started off on a 17-7 lead against the defending world champion Giants in Giants Stadium at MetLife Stadium. And then about 6 minutes to go in the second quarter, it just all went to hell in a handbasket and then some. And then at that point, now, mind you, it was 17-7 with 6 minutes to go in the second quarter. The Giants win 41-27. The Browns scored 10 more points. That's it. And the the Giants score 41 on the game. The Browns defense, they could tackle anybody. They couldn't do anything. They couldn't do much of anything, period. Play calling's been in question. I don't know what's going on with this particular team. It's a wreck. They got a new owner coming in here in a couple weeks. I think heads will roll come the bye week, week 10. Falcons, Redskins. The Falcons head to Washington, take on RG3, who got his bell rung. Look, RG3 is going to learn that you cannot run like you did in college. You know, you're 220 pounds. Yeah, he's a pretty big guy, 220 pounds, but you can't be running around all the field like he has been, and he's going to get too many concussions. It may be a great career, but it may be a short career if he continues doing what he's doing. And with that being said, the Falcons stay unbeaten. 24-17 win in Washington. Dolphins heading to Cincinnati. This is a shock to me. I thought the Bengals would win this game, coming at home with a nice road win in Jacksonville, and really just did not really play well. That defense, I thought, would be a lot better than they are. 17-13, Dolphins get the win. How about the Ravens heading to KC? You would have thought this would have been a train wreck, and it was a train wreck, but for whatever the reasons, the Ravens got a win out, 9-6. But the big story here in Kansas City is starting quarterback Matt Castle was actually cheered by the fans for getting knocked out in the game and left the game. Teammate Eric Winston, the right tackle, spoke out, calling it a disgrace, and he was one of the most disgraceful acts he's ever been a part of in football. And I tell you what, a lot of people, you know, at the mothership and ESPN and places are, you know, trying to, you know, justify, you know, they're like, oh, well, the word fan comes from fanatic. I don't want to hear that crap. There's no reason to cheer somebody for getting injured, especially for someone getting knocked out. I'm sorry. There's no reason to cheer that. You know, you don't know the severity of what, you know, ended up just being a concussion. Like, that's not a big deal. But the guy was knocked out on the field. You don't cheer something like that. It's disrespectful. I don't like it. And I'm glad that he spoke up and said what he did. He was right on the money as far as his take with the fans. And it'd be interesting to see how they perceive this team when they take the field with Brady Quinn at quarterback. How about that? Seahawks, Panthers, Cam Newton having a rough sophomore year. I think this is really a case of Cam Newton and teams really having film on him and learning how to defend him. And I also think that he's mentally weak. I mean, some weeks he's hot and other weeks he's not. And when he's not, and he just kind of pouts, he's really mopey. When he's really good, he's really good. When he's bad, he's really, really bad. The Seahawks go to Carolina and get the Panthers 16-12. Bears, Jaguars. Wow, this Bears defense is crazy good. They've scored 4 defensive touchdowns in the last 2 weeks, and the offense with Jay Cutler and Marshall and Matt Forte is really starting to roll here, and they put it on the Jaguars 41-3. Patriots taking on Peyton Manning with the Denver Broncos. Still sounds weird saying that. Peyton versus Manning is the 13th time they've ever met in an epic clash. The best quarterbacks in the last 12 years, hands down. Manning was great. Brady was pretty good himself, but really it was the running game of the Patriots was the difference really in this thing. Patriots get the win in Foxborough 31-21. The Bills, they've been awful on the road, to say the least. Heading to San Francisco was no different, and they put the Buffalo out the pasture 45-3. 49ers look tough. The Vikings are a major shock, in my opinion. 4-1, they take on the Titans. The Titans, I guess, they apparently just like to get blown out in games. They've been blown out about every single game they played this year, except for the crazy game they won in overtime. All the rest of them haven't even been close at all. That Vikings team is bad. They can't tackle. They can't tackle. They can't run the ball. They can't pass the ball. They can't defend the run. They can't defend the pass. That team is just bad. Saints, Chargers. Drew Brees breaks Johnny Unitas's record of 48 games in a row throwing touchdown passes. He threw 4 in this game. The Saints get their first win, and they get a little bit of help from the replacement refs, or I mean the regular refs, I mean, and a 31-24 win in New Orleans. Monday Night Football. Holy Tim Tebow. I mean, really, the Tim Tebow thing needs to stop. It really does. I mean, he played 7 snaps on offense. Let's get over it already. Texans win 23-17, and J.J. Watt. from Wisconsin. I tell you what, he was drafted with the 11th pick 2 years ago, and I tell you what, this guy is a monster. 8.5 sacks already on the season. I don't know if anybody can stop this guy. He is unbelievable. And the thing is, he's playing with a brace on his arm because he dislocated his elbow in training camp and is still playing. I mean, he is a monster. He is a one-man wrecking crew, J.J. Watt. The Texans look very, very good. Now, coincidentally enough, Tim Tebow does play Monday Night Football, which is the 666th episode of Monday Night Football. Mark Sanchez's passer rating, 66.6. Coincidence? I think Tim Tebow is really the devil. This week's games, we look at Thursday Night Football primetime. You have the Steelers heading to the Music City to take on the Titans. Look, I think this team just loves to get blown out. I don't expect a thriller here at all. I think the Steelers really put it on them, especially with a newfound running game, Rashard Mendenhall coming back. What better way to get healthy against a porous Titans defense? I think the Steelers win big time Thursday night. Chiefs, Buccaneers. Luckily, the Chiefs go on the road this week. They don't have to play at home. The Buccaneers coming off a bye week. I expect the Buccaneers to beat the Chiefs at home. This Chiefs team is just a lot of turmoil. Playing with Brady Quinn, not a good recipe for success. Colts, Jets. As crazy as this may be, I'm taking the Colts to win this game at MetLife Stadium against the Jets. I think Andrew Luck is just getting better and better and better. He proved it last week. And it comes down to quarterback versus quarterback. Who's got the best quarterback? Andrew Luck is the best quarterback out of Tim Tebow and Mark Sanchez, hands down. The Browns and the Bengals. The Browns come home after two rough road games. The only team in the NFL without a victory. And I don't think they get a victory. I don't know if they'll even have a victory come the bye week, week 10. The team under Pat Shurmur has lost 11 games in a row dating back to last season. That's the longest losing streak in the NFL. It's the worst losing streak the Browns have been on since they came back into the league in 1999. I don't see an end in sight. I see Pat Shurmur leaving town. He's been sarcastic and chippy with the media, maybe rightfully so. But hey, you're the head coach. You got to take it. You're responsible for what you see on the field. And what we've seen on the field is 11 losses in a row. Not much more you can say there. You lose 11 games in a row in the NFL, you're going to get fired. That's just the way it goes. Lions, coming off the bye week, head to Philadelphia, host the Eagles. I think the Eagles are really solid at home, and I think they take care of the football. That Lions defense is suspect at best. I expect this to be an entertaining game. I expect it to be a shootout, but I'm taking the Eagles at home. They play very good at home. Raiders, Falcons. Raiders had a bye week, and they go to Atlanta to play in the fast track in the Super Bowl. I don't see this boding well for the Raiders at all. I think the Falcons, again, remain unbeaten. Rams, Dolphins. This game is really a toss-up for me. Two very young teams, just like the Browns are, but the big difference is these young teams are actually winning football games. The Dolphins have been on the road the last 2 weeks and have really played pretty well. They get a split on the road. They lose an overtime game in Arizona. Now they get to come home. I expect this to be a low-scoring defensive battle-type game. Again, I'm up in the air on a coin flip on who to pick here, but I'm going to go with the home team. That is the Dolphins in a squeaker. Cowboys coming off a bye week, heading to Baltimore. The Ravens did not play very good in Kansas City last week, but managed to get a win. An ugly win is a win in the NFL, no matter how it comes. I tell you what, the Baltimore Ravens have been outstanding at home. The Cowboys, well, they're the Cowboys. You don't know who you're going to get. You're going to get the motivated Cowboys that you saw opening week, or you're going to get the Cowboys you saw 2 weeks ago on Monday Night Football. Hard to say, but with that being said, I'm looking at the Ravens to really put it on the Cowboys. Bills, Cardinals. The Bills, again, one of the worst road teams in football. I think the Cardinals, with that extra time off playing on last Thursday night, I think they get the victory against the Bills at home. Patriots heading up to Seattle. Seattle is always one of those weird places when big games happen. It's a rough travel one, you know, heading up in that area. And that stadium and that crowd is very loud. That front four, that defense, Seattle Seahawks is formidable. Does the Pats O-line hold up? Are they able to run the ball? I think they do and will. Patriots win in Seattle. Giants 49ers. This is a rematch of the NFC title game last year. This is going to be a good one here. 49ers always seem to get these games at home. Lucky them. But with that being said, I'm taking Eli. No one's playing as good as he is. He had 3 touchdown passes last week against the Browns. Again, that might not be saying much, but still, he looks good. I'm taking the Giants in a shocker in San Francisco. Vikings, Redskins. I think the Vikings, they go to Washington. I don't think it's going to be easy. I don't know if RG3 is going to play or not. With that being said, I'm taking the Redskins at home. Packers, Texans. Tell you what, if the Texans are going to drop a game, it might be this one. The Packers, I think, are in a must-win situation at this point at 1-3. Excuse me, at 2-3. I tell you what, they better get their discount double check, and they better get it before they get to Houston, and they better find somebody to block J.J. Watt, because no one's been able to block him thus far. That being said, I think the Texans remain unbeaten, beat the Packers on Sunday night. That's going to be a good one. Monday Night Football. This is going to be a shootout like no other. This is a classic quarterback matchup here. Peyton Manning versus Phillip Rivers. You're going to see a lot of touchdowns, a lot of yards thrown. This is going to be an exciting game to watch on Monday Night Football. The Sheriff heading to San Diego. I'm taking Peyton Manning, the Broncos on the road in San Diego on Monday Night Football. Those are your pigskin pick'ems here on Unsigned. Now, college football. You want to talk about a crazy weekend in college football. Wow. College football, number 3, number 4, number 5, all lose last weekend. Florida State with yet another year where they're picked to play for the Crystal Ball, and another year that they get beat by a team they should not lose to. They lost to NC State. It just can't happen if you want to win a national title. And guess what? They lost. They're probably not going to get a national title shot. And then we look at the SEC, number 4, LSU, losing to number 10, Florida. And what was really an ugly game in the first half, turnovers, and just, you know, it was 6-0 at halftime. It was just an ugly, ugly game. Florida's defense, everyone's like, oh, Florida's defense is really good. You know who recruited all that defense, all juniors and seniors? Urban Meyer recruited that defense. Then you get the upset on LSU. Number 5, Georgia. Playing the Gamecocks of South Carolina. I tell you what, someone euthanized the Bulldogs in this game. Wow. Someone queued up a Sarah McLachlan song because the Bulldogs got waxed against the Gamecocks on Saturday. You look at the Big 12, West Virginia taking on number 11, Texas. Geno Smith and West Virginia Mountaineers. They can't play any defense. There's no doubt about that. But, man, they can sure put up points. Geno Smith with 4 more touchdown passes. He had 8 the week before and then 4 more. People were like, oh, he only had 4 touchdown passes. Yeah, because he had 8 the week before. This guy's a clear-cut Heisman front-runner at this point. And West Virginia, they can find any type of defense. So you play any type of defense, they may be in the hunt for a national title, but until they find a way to play defense, I'm not going to take them as serious contenders at this point. In a primetime game at the Horseshoe in Columbus, number 21 Nebraska coming in to play Ohio State, and Braxton Miller is a superstar in the making. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And he is thriving in Urban Meyer's offense and really only in his 5th game. And my upset pick of the week, which was Penn State over Northwestern. They overcome an 11-point deficit to beat number 24, unbeaten Northwestern and Happy Valley. And a little side note, Brian Downing of the University of Alabama, football fan, dubbed the Alabama Teabagger, had pled guilty to obscenity charges this past week. Now, in January of 2012, Downing was arrested on charges of sexual battery and obscenity when he filmed himself rubbing his genitals on a drunken LSU fan that was passed out of the championship game. I don't know when that became a good idea as a drunken Alabama fan. There's a passed out LSU fan. I think I'm going to go to rub my balls on his face and record it. Welcome to Alabama, son. They're just a little different down there. You know, even people here in Tennessee, I'm in Tennessee, and people in the South make fun of people from Alabama. That's how weird they are. They'll rub their balls on your face if you're sleeping or passed out. You know what I mean? That's a whole precedent right there. That's a whole different world down there in Alabama. Roll Tide. Roll Tide. Big games this week in college football. You have Oklahoma taking on Texas. That's going to be good in a Red River rivalry. I expect Oklahoma to win that ball game. Texas, for whatever reason, as Mac Brown has not got that team to elite status in the last several years. Starting to wonder what's going on there. Stanford versus Notre Dame. I tell you what, Notre Dame has an outside chance to get in the national title game. If they run the table against Stanford, and I mean, they completely annihilated Miami this past week, and I expect them to really put it on Stanford. In another game, LSU taking on on the South Carolina Gamecocks. I think from what I've seen in college football right now, the South Carolina Gamecocks and maybe the Oregon Ducks are the only two teams I think that can compete on a neutral field against Alabama, period. And hope you don't get their balls on their chin. That's about it. That's your college football update. And now we look at our top movies of the week. Finding Nemo 3D, $1.6 million. The Master, $1.8 million. House at the End of the Street, $3.7 million. Trouble with the Curve, at $3.8 million. End of Watch, $4 million. Frankenweenie, $11.4 million. Looper, $12.1 million. Pitch Perfect, $14.8 million. Hotel Transylvania, $27 million. A movie that I'm excited to see is Taken. Taken 2. If you haven't seen the first Taken movie, you got to check that out. Leland Neeson is one bad dude in that one, and I have no doubt that he's a bad dude in this one, at $49.5 million. Those are your top movies at the box office this week. Hey, that's all I've got for you tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I appreciate you checking out The Unsigned Show. And again, special thanks to Audio Blue, our music guest, for stopping by. It seems harder to enjoy the finer things in life. Until next time, do so, everybody.